Ha huagestig ri CGSF, nached poing aun FM, Crowlevel Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I come to Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone. As long as the United States stands, and we will stand forever, we'll not let you ever be alone.
Israel's continuing its deadly assault on Gaza a day after President Biden traveled to Israel, and the United States vetoed a UN resolution calling for a humanitarian pause. Protests against Israel's bombardment of Gaza are growing across the Middle East and in the United States. Hundreds were arrested inside the Capitol in a protest led by Jewish groups. People chanted, "Ceasefire now." We'll hear remarks by the only Palestinian-American Congress member, Rashida Tlaib, as well as Congress member Cori Bush and the writer and activist Naomi Klein.
These are the darkest days that I have ever experienced. The Israeli government, with the full support of every Western power in the world, announced an intent to commit genocide using Jewish fears of another genocide as the excuse. And now it is in the process of making good on that threat. That is what we must stop.
But first, we go to the occupied West Bank, to Ramallah, to speak with Dr. Mustafa Barghouti. Then to longtime Israeli journalist Amira Haas. She spent decades covering the occupied West Bank and lived in Gaza for years. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Dozens of Palestinian civilians have been killed in Gaza as Israel bombed the besieged Palestinian territory for a 13th consecutive day. The Palestinian Health Ministry reports nearly 3,800 Gazans have been killed in Israeli strikes since Hamas's October 7th surprise attack on southern Israel, which killed more than 1,400 Israelis. The human rights group Defense for Children International Palestine reports Israeli strikes have on average killed one child every 15 minutes in Gaza since fighting escalated. This is Dr. Hassan Abusita, a surgeon in Gaza City who narrowly survived Tuesday's explosion at Al-Ahli Hospital, a blast Palestinians blame on Israel.
40% of all the cases that I've seen have been children. A lot of them have been like this. They've lost one or two parents. And unfortunately, these kids have a long, long recovery road in front of them.
Earlier today, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak arrived in Tel Aviv, where he was greeted by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Sunak said he believed Israel's military is, quote, taking every precaution to avoid harming civilians. He made no mention of Israel's decision to cut off food, water, fuel and medicine to Gaza, a siege that's widely considered a breach of international law. On Wednesday, President Joe Biden said Egypt and Israel have agreed to allow 20 humanitarian aid trucks through the Rafah border crossing into Gaza. The trucks aren't expected to arrive until Friday. A spokesperson for the Red Cross and Red Crescent Society said, quote, "We're talking about 2 million people who are in need of everything, so 20 trucks will be a drop in the ocean," they said. In the occupied West Bank, health officials say at least 7 Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces and armed settlers over the past day amidst mounting military raids and arrests. 69 Palestinians have been killed in similar attacks since October 7th. Major protests across the West Bank have also taken aim at the ruling Palestinian Authority, which has launched a violent crackdown on demonstrations. A 12-year-old Palestinian girl named Hassan Nasrallah was shot and killed by PA security forces Tuesday during protests in Jenin following the deadly bombing of Gaza's Al-Ahli Hospital. The United States has vetoed a UN Security Council resolution calling for a humanitarian pause to Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza Strip and its 2.4 million inhabitants. The resolution, sponsored by Brazil, called for full, rapid, safe, and unhindered humanitarian access for UN agencies to deliver life-saving aid to the besieged territory. It included a condemnation of Hamas's attacks on Israel and demanded the immediate and unconditional release of hostages. On Wednesday, 12 of the UN Security Council's 15 members voted in favor of a humanitarian pause in Gaza. Russia and UK abstained, while the United States used its privilege as a permanent member of the Security Council to exercise its veto. This is the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
The United States is disappointed this resolution made no mention of Israel's rights of self-defense.
The United States' veto of a humanitarian pause in Gaza came 2 days after the U.S., France, Japan, and the United Kingdom rejected a Gaza ceasefire resolution proposed by Russia. Palestinian UN Ambassador Riyad Mansour spoke after Wednesday's vote.
It is beyond belief that some still speak of a right to self-defense of an occupying power that has made clear it is seeking blind vengeance, forced transfer, and annihilation of our people.
An Israeli Parliament Ethics Committee has suspended Knesset member Ofer Kassif for 45 days after he criticized Israel's assault on Gaza. His suspension comes as Israeli authorities have arrested more than 100 Israeli citizens over social media posts supporting Palestinians in Gaza. At least 70 Israeli university students face suspension or other disciplinary action for posting pro-Palestinian sentiments online. To see our interview with Ofer Kassif, you can go to democracynow.org. In Washington, D.C., Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders has blocked legislation that would have effectively barred U.S. humanitarian aid from reaching Gaza. On Wednesday, Sanders objected when Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott tried to pass the so-called Stop Taxpayer Funding of Hamas Act.
Right now, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza, who have lost their homes. They've been thrown out of their homes. They have no food. They have no water. They have no fuel. And I remind my colleagues that half of those people are children.
Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin has ordered an additional 2,000 U.S. troops to deploy to the Middle East in support of Israel. The order builds on a rapid response force of 2,000 U.S. Marines sailing for the Eastern Mediterranean, along with two U.S. Navy carrier strike groups. This evening, President Biden's giving a primetime address where he's expected to ask Congress for $100 billion in emergency funds to ship more weapons to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, and to further militarize the U.S.-Mexico border. Meanwhile, a high-ranking State Department official has resigned in protest of the Biden administration's policies on Israel and Palestine. For 11 years, Josh Paul oversaw arms transfers to U.S. allies while serving as the Congressional and Public Affairs Director of the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs. In a letter explaining his resignation, Paul condemned U.S. what he called blind support for Israel as, quote, an impulsive reaction built on confirmation bias, political convenience, intellectual bankruptcy, and bureaucratic inertia, unquote. Paul wrote his greatest desire was to see both Israelis and Palestinians flourish, adding, quote, collective punishment is an enemy to that desire, whether it involves demolishing one home or 1,000, as two is ethnic cleansing, as two is occupation, as two as apartheid, he wrote. On Capitol Hill, police arrested at least 300 activists Wednesday as they held a nonviolent sit-in protest in the Congressional Cannon Rotunda to demand lawmakers press for a ceasefire in Gaza. The arrest came as thousands of people rallied on the National Mall for a demonstration organized by the groups If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace. Organizers called it the largest ever protest of Jews' support of Palestinians. Among those addressing the crowd was award-winning author Naomi Klein.
Friends, these are the darkest days that I have ever experienced. The Israeli government, with the full support of every Western power in the world, announced an intent to commit genocide using Jewish fears of another genocide as the excuse. And now it is in the process of making good on that threat. That is what we must stop. That is what we are here to stop. That is what we will stop. There are so many more lives to save.
Later in the broadcast, we'll hear more voices from the Jewish Voice for Peace rally in D.C. Among those who is covering the rally, we'll speak with the Israeli journalist Amira Haas. Thousands of protesters took to the streets around the world following Tuesday's attack on the Al-Ahli hospital. In the Middle East and North Africa, major protests were seen in Ramallah, in Beirut, and across cities in Tunisia, Iraq, and Iran, among others. Large actions against Israel's, what they're calling, genocide in Gaza have also been seen across Europe. In The Hague, demonstrators rallied outside the headquarters of the International Criminal Court to demand Israel be held accountable for war crimes.
World leaders don't have to stay silent. They are only talking on social media, but they are not taking actions. So what do we have to do? Do we have to stay forever silent and wait until everybody there is dead? Or when are they going to take action?
Last week, South African lawmaker, grandson of Nelson Mandela and Nkosi Mandela, joined a Palestinian solidarity protest in Cape Town.
Palestinians are counting on each and every one of us to stand and be counted like they stood side by side with us in the trenches when we fought to liberate our country.
In Colombia, President Gustavo Petro triggered a diplomatic row with Israel after comparing its assault on Palestinians to Nazis during World War II. A comparison that's also been drawn by progressive Jews who've spoken out against Israel's actions. Meanwhile, Spain has rejected Israeli claims that two of its lawmakers are aligned, quote, with ISIS-style terrorism, unquote, because they called for Benjamin Netanyahu to be brought before the International Criminal Court for committing war crimes in Gaza. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says his military has successfully deployed U.S.-supplied long-range missiles known as ATACMs for the first time, targeting Russian warplanes and ammunition depots. The Washington Post reports the missiles were armed with cluster bomblets rather than single warheads. Such weapons are banned by the Convention on Cluster Munitions, which has been adopted by more than 100 countries, though not by Russia, Ukraine, or the United States. On Wednesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin called the Biden administration's decision to arm Ukraine with ATACMs reckless and a grave mistake, but predicted the weapons would not change the course of the war.
For Ukraine, nothing good will come of this. It just prolongs the agony. A while ago, they started the highly anticipated and highly advertised counteroffensive in Kherson right now. It has had no success. There have been losses, but no success.
Putin made the remarks from Beijing following lengthy talks Wednesday with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, who greeted Putin warmly as an old friend. The pair discussed the wars in Ukraine and Gaza and growing trade between Russia and China, estimated at nearly $200 billion annually. Russia's detained a Russian-American journalist and charged her with failing to register as a foreign agent. Alsu Kromasheva is an editor with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, a U.S. government-funded news service. The Committee to Protect Journalists demanded her immediate release, adding in a statement, quote, journalism is not a crime, and Kromasheva's detention is yet more proof that Russia is determined to stifle independent reporting, CPJ said. She's the second U.S. journalist detained by Russia this year, after Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich was arrested in March on what the newspaper called trumped-up espionage charges. And back in the United States, far-right Republican Congress member Jim Jordan lost his second floor vote to become House Speaker Wednesday, receiving just 199 votes, one fewer than the first round of voting a days earlier. It was the first time in a century that the majority nominee received less than 200 votes. Jordan is a close ally of Trump, was involved in the efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. He's also been accused of a cover-up, ignoring accusations of sexual abuse against an Ohio State University physician by members of the male wrestling team when Jordan was an assistant wrestling coach at the school in the 80s and 90s. Congress members are voting again today, as Jordan vowed to keep going. The House has been at a legislative standstill since Kevin McCarthy was ousted by the far right over 2 weeks ago. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. The death toll in Gaza is nearing 3,800 as Israel continues its aerial bombardment of the besieged territory for the 13th day. Dozens of Palestinians were killed overnight as Israel bombed southern Gaza in areas that were supposed to be safe zones after Israel ordered residents of northern Gaza to vacate their homes. This is Rafat al-Nakhal speaking in Khan Yunus after an Israeli airstrike.
We came from Gaza City. They told us to come to the south, so we came to the south. We found that the strikes intensified in the south. We stayed in a house. In front of us, there were strikes, and behind us, strikes. There's no safety. There's nowhere safe in Gaza. You have to be ready to die and to just stay in your house. There's absolutely no difference between Gaza City, Rafah, Khan Yunis, between the south, the north, the east, or the west. They brought us to the south, and it's been strikes every day. Every day there are martyrs in massive numbers. I'm over 70 years old. I've lived through several wars. It's never been like this. It's never been this brutal. No religion and no conscience. Thank God, we only have hope in God, not in any Arab or Muslim country or anywhere in the world except for God.
Funerals were held earlier today in Khan Yunis after an Israeli airstrike leveled a three-story building, killing 12 members of the same family. Relatives said the dead include seven children.
What is this that has happened to them? Babies sleeping in their houses, five children and four women sleeping in their houses, no men. They were sleeping inside. The strike hit a three-level building on six babies and four women. What shall we say? Thank God. Children are all 5 or 6 years old. There was no warning because it's an Israeli despicable terrorist country and not an Islamic country, a terrorist American country.
These are seven babies. Four are buried here and three are buried in another site. The total is 10.
The children died, their mothers and their grandmother.
Meanwhile, in the northern Gaza Strip, an Israeli airstrike trapped children under rubble. Dramatic footage shows Palestinians trying to rescue the children.
This all comes as Israel's amassed tanks on the border of Gaza ahead of what appears to be an imminent ground invasion. Protests have been growing across the Middle East after hundreds of Palestinians died in an explosion at the Al-Aqsa Baptist Hospital. Palestinians say the blast was caused by an Israeli missile. Israel's denied responsibility despite attacking the same hospital just days earlier. According to the World Health Organization, 115 health facilities have been attacked so far in Gaza. On the diplomatic front, the United States vetoed a UN Security Council resolution calling for a humanitarian pause in Gaza. President Biden has returned from Israel, scheduled to give a primetime address tonight, seeking $100 billion from Congress to help arm Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Meanwhile, Israel now says they believe 203 hostages are being held in Gaza after being seized in the Hamas attack on October 7th that killed over 1,400 100 people in Israel. We go now to Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, where we're joined by Dr. Mustafa Barghouti. He's a Palestinian physician, an activist, and politician who serves as General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. He's been a member of the Palestinian Legislative Council since 2006. He's also a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization Central Council. Dr. Barghouti, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can respond to all the developments, most recently, of course, President Biden has just left, your assessment of his visit, and the Arab summit that was canceled by Mahmoud Abbas, who's based where you are in Ramallah, the head of the Palestinian Authority, the Jordanian king, and the Egyptian president after the attack on the hospital, and your assessment of what Israel's saying about that attack.
You know, Amy, I don't know where to start. The atrocities are beyond description. We are subjected now as Palestinians, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank, to horrifying war crimes, ethnic cleansing, acts of collective punishment against the population of Gaza, where civilians are dying because they don't have water, they don't have electricity, they don't have food, they don't have medicines. And an act of genocide. Every 5 minutes, a Palestinian is killed in Gaza. Every 15 minutes, a Palestinian child is killed in Gaza. And it goes on. My last number is 3,785. I think it's already wrong, because with the passage of each minute, more Palestinians are killed. What did President Biden do? Instead of coming here and telling the Israelis, and he knows very well that the United States is the only country in the world that has leverage over Israel, instead of telling them, stop this atrocity, have ceasefire, so that you can at least save the prisoners that are in Gaza, the Israeli prisoners, he came here to be totally complicit with Israeli war crimes and to push the United States into becoming a participant in these war crimes by sending soldiers to participate in Israeli invasion and in the crimes that are committed against the Palestinian people. He bought every lie that Netanyahu told him, and he kept repeating them. And I don't understand how the American intelligence structures don't tell their president that these are lies. I am sure they know that. The first lie about decapitating children, it turned out to be a big lie. The other lie about raping women, it turned out to be a lie, and that's what Los Angeles and Times apologized about. Then this huge lie about Palestinians killing themselves in their hospital. This huge lie that Israel distributed and the Israeli military did, as they usually do, by telling series of lies and changing them one time after the other. Before I come back to President Biden, let me explain. Israel committed a terrible airstrike on the Baptist hospital run by the Anglican Church, killing no less than 473 Palestinian people, mainly children and women, and injuring more than 300 others. Why? For what? It was all about the Israeli ultimatum that was already, according to WHO, sent to no less than 27 hospitals, including the largest hospital in Gaza, Shifa Hospital, to evict and evacuate so that Israel can conduct its ethnic cleansing of big parts of Gaza at the moment with a plan of ethnically cleansing all of Gaza Strip. The strike was clearly Israeli. The type of explosion is something that no Palestinian militant group has. A huge blast that took the lives of almost 500 people instantly, in less than a minute. That's a power that no Palestinian group has. So it was a big lie. But Israel lied four times in justifying this attack. The first Israeli reaction was that they did the airstrike on the hospital. They admitted it in the first round. And they said they did it because Hamas militants were hiding there. Then they changed the story, and they said that Hamas is taking Palestinians as human shield. Then the third changed the story and said it was Hamas rocket. And then the fourth lie which is now dominant, is that it was a jihadi rocket. How could the United States repeat these lies and accept them without verifying them? Israel did that before with the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, when they changed their story four times. Each time, in the beginning, they said she was killed by a Palestinian. And gradually, they admitted that it was their crime. Believe me, these lies should not be continued. And the United States should immediately support an immediate ceasefire. The meeting that should have been taking place with the Jordanian king and with the Egyptian president and with Palestinian president did not take place because all these three people realized that Mr. Biden does not want to support ceasefire immediately. And they realized that he's practically supporting the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from Gaza into Egypt, something that Egypt refused, and something that Jordan refused, and something that all the Arab countries refused. That is the essence of what's happening now. And so Israel now is changing the plan a little bit by pushing all the people from the northern part of Gaza and the middle of Gaza into the southern part. It's already a very small area of less than 140 square miles, becoming now less than 60 square miles with 2.3 million people. They say they push them down for safety, but they continue to bombard them in the south. The game is clear. They want to ethnically cleanse completely Gaza Strip. And they initiated acts of ethnic cleansing already in the West Bank, where 20 Palestinian communities have already been evicted by Israeli terror settlers, where more than 75 Palestinians already killed also in the West Bank. At this very moment, the Israeli army is attacking Tul Karim camp and Nur Shams camp in Tul Karim area, using drones and using also rockets against civilian population in a refugee camp. This is the situation that is getting worse and worse every day. And the real plan, as I can see it, according to what an Israeli minister said, we're going to shrink Gaza size. What does that mean? Annexing the northern part and the middle of Gaza. What will happen to all these hospitals? Let me read to you what World Health Organization says. World Health Organization says that 136 attacks were committed against health facilities in Gaza, during which time 491 Palestinians were killed, 16 health workers were killed, 370 people were injured, 23 Palestinian health ambulances were destroyed, and 26 facilities were completely destroyed or partially destroyed. 77 similar attacks also took place in the West Bank. So nobody can convince us that it was Palestinians who killed Palestinians in that hospital. And nobody should give any justification for the behavior of President Biden. The only conclusion that one can come to is that he cares only about his re-election. He doesn't care even about the lives of Israeli prisoners, neither him nor Netanyahu. Otherwise, why wouldn't they accept ceasefire? Why Netanyahu continues his airstrikes, although these airstrikes already killed 22 Israeli prisoners? They continue because they don't care about Palestinian lives or Israeli lives. And Mr. Biden should listen not to the lies of Netanyahu, but to the noble voice of the Jewish people, the American Jewish people who came to the American Congress to demonstrate and demand one thing: immediate ceasefire. I'm telling you, we're calling on the whole world to immediately stand up, and instead of supporting the genocide and the collective punishment and the hysterical Israeli ethnic cleansing, to support immediate ceasefire so we can stop the killings that are taking place, a ceasefire that could guarantee safe passage to the prisoners, but also that could guarantee humanitarian aid to Palestinians who are now dying out because of thirst, because of starvation, and most importantly, because of lack of medicines and because of a possibility of an epidemic that could start in Gaza because of the suspension of vaccination for children and because of the destruction of sanitary infrastructure. We could see an epidemic of cholera very soon in Gaza. Is that what Mr. Biden wants? Is that what Mr. Netanyahu wants? This is atrocity that should stop. And anybody that doesn't call for a ceasefire immediately will be considered not only complicit with these war crimes, but a participant in them.
And Dr. Barghouti, could you respond to the decision that Biden announced, Egypt,